In this episode of Movie Rollers, we're going to review the movies Hansel and Gretel and Side Effects. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings all.
Hello.
Hello.
So I'm excited because we're going to this animation festival,
yeah,
I guess, Yazdi. But Yazdi started to tell me and I'm a little worried now.
What is this?
So it's an annual thing. So it's called the Spike and Mike's Twisted Animation Festival.
Oh. I like it already.
Yes, and every year they collect. I've always wanted to attend it, and the whole time I've been at San Diego, I've been aware of it because it's shown at a few locations, usually at the La Jolla Museum of Contemporary Art. And what it is it's a collection of weird, offbeat, perverse, disturbing, twisted animation shorts. And you know, it's a two-hour collection of them. And some of them are funny, some of them are shocking, some of them are endearing, I suppose. We'll all find out in a few hours when we go watch it.
And what's the source of this? Do they go around the world and collect animated movies?
Yes, I believe so.
And wow.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Because we know that, I guess, animation in Japan, there's no laws on what they can show, isn't it?
It's not just Japan, it's around the world. I mean, there's some quirky European stuff I've seen too. It's just that there's an oddity about Western cultures in that we tend not to have adult themes in animation.
Right, because kids generally watch animation. That's how we associate it.
But I don't see why it's, you know, just because a painting isn't photorealistic, a painting can have an adult theme. And yet there's this whole idea that animation is this medium that kids like, and it's interesting. So
yeah, I mean, I think in Japan, this whole concept of manga is huge, and it's given the kind of, you know, artistic heft that any other, you know, like painting or sculpture. I mean, people think very highly of animation, and it's not for kids at all. And
well, some of it is just plain weird.
Yes,
I had a friend at college who was really into, like, I would say he was into manga, but he wasn't. He was into animated porn. I mean, the kind of stuff that he liked were these movies. And this isn't, by the way, this isn't a friend in quotes, friend, you know, the friend that's
yes,
me on
your
the side.
Friend, yes.
It was really...
I can vouch for that.
Rashmi can vouch for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I can vouch for it.
But yeah, he was, they, you know, they had like these demons raping young girls, and there were lots of sexual themes about virgins and...
And I think the whole animated culture is strange when, I mean, you know...
It was just odd to me that you could depict sexuality in an animated film.
I mean, what I love about animation is it completely frees you. You can do anything. Whatever you imagine, you can put it on a piece of paper and draw it. And so I think it's very liberating in terms of where you can go with animation. And I think that's where people get most creative. Okay. Incidentally, this is the 30th anniversary of Spike and Mike's Festival of Animation. And you can find out all kinds of information about them at spikeandmike.com. And they go around the country. So they're, you know, they're shown. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Well, thank you to you, Yazdi, for organizing. So we're excited.
Look forward to it.
I was actually... told by Allison Gang, who had joined us last year for a podcast. She's the lead film critic for the San Diego Tribune. And she was the one who mentioned about it. And I guess we'll be seeing her later today.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cheers, Allison.
Excited, yes.
Well, we may not thank Lesko.
Yes, we may not.
So I guess speaking of movies that are based on children's books but revamped for adults, let's segue into our review of Hansel and Gretel. So Yazdi, tell us about Hansel and Gretel.
So Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters, is, like you said, Joe, the latest film adaptation of a beloved children's story. Remember Red Riding Hood and the two Snow White films from last year? This story leaps through the part when Hansel and Gretel were children and finds them as adults making a living as bounty hunters, commissioned by all manner of medieval villages to find and capture evil witches that have been terrorizing their inhabitants. And brother and sister go off on one adventure after another to vanquish all manner of witches, including a group which, on the day of the blood moon, are meant to get the greatest power. The movie stars Jeremy Renner and Gemma Atherton as Hansel and Gretel, and also stars Peter Stormare and Famke Janssen. The film is written and directed by Tommy Vercola, who makes his freshman debut helming an English language film with Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters. Rashmi, what do you think about it?
I have one question. Why? This is some strange genre that seems to be rearing its ugly head again and again, which is fairy tale meets science fiction. John Carter, Cowboys and Aliens, and now Hansel and Gretel. This was such a bad movie.
To which I respond, why the hell not? I mean, and let me just make this clear. I thought this movie was awesome.
No, you did not.
I promise you.
I promise you.
I had so much fun watching this bad movie.
Come on, I respect you. Come on.
No, it's a B movie. Let's get that straight. But I had so much fun watching it, because if you're going to do this, then go for it. Like, let's be ridiculous. Let's fill it with anachronisms and one-liners and stupidity and have a riot with it.
Let's just clarify, the B is for bad.
No, the B is...
But I don't think it's nearly as campy as you're making it out to be.
But I took it that way. I mean, really? I was having fun when things were exploding and blood was flying everywhere. And I really had a good time with it. I don't think it was highbrow. I don't think it was clever. I don't think it was especially well written. But the way it was assembled made me... I had a good time watching it. I like the witches.
Put it right.
I like the badassness of Jeremy Renner and Gemma Atherton. Atherton, who played Gretel. I just thought it was good, sexy fun.
There's nothing sexy about it.
It was.
There was one sexy scene when Jeremy Renner is in the pool of something.
That's right. I even forgot about that. That was awesome. What are you talking about, guys?
I think this movie encapsulates everything that is wrong with Hollywood right now.
I agree.
No humbug.
If you want exhibit A of what's wrong with Hollywood right now, Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, it's just creatively so bankrupt. It's like somebody just said, here, you take Alice in Wonderland, here, you got Hansel and Gretel, here, you got Snow White, just go and do whatever you want with it and make a movie.
And let's not forget about Lincoln. Remember the Lincoln movie, yes. which I actually liked last year.
Is good. I just feel it was just so pointless, and even the action after a while, it just seemed tacky and cheap, and there was just blood flowing, the special effects were bad, the makeup was bad. I just got tired of this movie so quickly. I mean, honestly, you know, okay, more than anybody else, I'm disappointed with Jeremy Renner.
Yes.
Okay, whatever possessed him, I mean, he's already in three franchises, okay? He's in, you know, the Bourne Legacy franchise now, he's in Mission Impossible.
The Avengers.
And he's in the Avengers, and now he wants to do a fourth one? I mean, come on, surely his mortgage is paid by now.
So this is what I thought. The only reason I could think that Jeremy Renner did this movie was because he loved Avengers so much, and he wants to show off his guns. Like, he's in such good shape that he wanted to have the ability to, you know, be an action hero again. That's the only reason I could think, why did he do this movie?
I just think you're expecting too much. This is Hansel and Gretel, right? And it's the attack version of Hansel and Gretel. Just look at the preview, right? There's crossbows, and they didn't have... Well, maybe they did have crossbows then, but they had, like, these weapons, and it's just silly nonsense. And I think if you look at the movie through those eyes, which I did, I settled into... Like, the opening scene pretty much settles you into how stupid the movie is going to be. You know, it's full on, it's loud, and...
Let me respond to that. So I like fantasy, fairy tale stuff. I like Charmed. I like that TV program Once Upon a Time. But this wasn't even as good as a bad episode of Charmed or Once Upon a Time. It didn't commit to the genre. It didn't commit to the fairy tale. So it was just this weird mashup.
Exactly. And I'm not saying... I think you should make a movie called Hansel and Gretel. I think it would be a... If you did this right, this would be a great movie. The reason why these stories have lasted through millennia is because they have an underlying darkness about them. I mean, Hansel and Gretel being in this house, you know, which is all candy, and then they're suddenly, you know, facing this woman who's going to eat them. You know, there are a lot of dark underlying themes of, you know, mortality and fear and, you know, losing your innocence. And I have the same complaint that I did with Red Riding Hood last year. How can you take all of that that and just make a bland shoot 'em up movie out of it. I mean, I wasn't scared about the witches for a minute. It just looked like they hired whoever does, you know, bad makeup for these kinds of movies and just went through like a B-movie adaptation of it. I mean, if you're doing Hansel and Gretel, there is material there to be... To get pretty dark, pretty scary, pretty anything.
Yeah.
But then you end up with the kind of thing that I think you complained about with Snow White and the Huntsman, that could be, you know, almost pretentious. You know, you don't want to necessarily have, I think, these movies that are trying to be overly artistic when what they went for here, and let's face it, they weren't striving for any of the stuff that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. They weren't going for that. They were like, it's going to have guns, it's going to have exploding heads, blood everywhere, you know, and it's going to be loud and bombastic. It's produced by Will Ferrell. You know, that was...
Boo! Shame on you, Will Ferrell!
But no, so I think they were having a playful take on this genre. Nobody set out to make the kind of movie that you're talking about here. And I think me receiving it in the way that I think it was intended just had fun. It was like, let's just be stupid. Let's be ridiculously stupid.
But then they should be tongue-in-cheek and all-out campy. Oh,
yeah, I agree. I agree with Yazdi on this one, Joe. I think there's, you know, our appetite for fantasy is huge. I mean, we've been, you know, engulfed by Hunger Games and Twilight and, you know, a variety of other movies, but this just didn't do anything for me. So, I don't know. Anything more to say, or shall we wrap this one up? Before Yazdi and I beat Joe up.
I'm going to go last because I want it to.
All right, I'll go first. So don't waste your time. This is bad, really bad, but at least it's only 88 minutes long. I'm going to give this one a 3 out of 10.
You know what the redeeming factor in this movie is?
Besides nude Jeremy Renner?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
If
that trips your trigger.
The redeeming... you know, value of this movie is nothing. Okay, there's nothing redeeming about this movie. Nothing. I mean, this is the kind of movie that is a shame. It's a pockmark on the face of everything related to cinema. I give it 2 out of 10. 2, 2, 2, and even that is too much. I hate this movie.
I'm just gonna have to give this 15 to average you out. I mean, no, it wasn't. You know, I'm not defending this movie because it's all the things that you said, but I just think that's what they were going for, and I. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's very much a guilty pleasure. It's one of those movies that's stupid. I think the movie knows it's stupid, and I think they just have fun with the stupidness. I don't think an actor as accomplished as Jeremy Renner would have played it as straight as you guys received it. I think I always felt like he was winking at me with every single line. So, you know, it's not especially clever, but in terms of, you know, blood, guts, explosions, fun, guns, crossbows, badassness, I mean... it was all there for me, so I'm going to give this an 8 out of 10. I really
No,
I really mean it. I'm not lying to you. I came out of that movie, and it's funny because I think I'm with the masses on this. As we came out of the movie theater, everyone was like, dude, that was awesome. Like,
I was behind that man too.
But this is the kind of thing. This is a popcorn movie, and it delivered for me, so I liked it. It's not highbrow. It's like, if you want to go see something stupid, go see this and you'll have fun.
I think maybe if you have 3 beers, you might
enjoy
it.
No.
Anyway.
It's dumbassness.
This is the beauty of film.
It's dumbassness, but it's good dumbassness. I loved it.
Yazdi's trash is Joe's treasure.
Clearly.
And I'm very much in the minority. What's this pulling on Rotten Tomatoes right now? 15%. Wow. Okay, yeah. So no one else seems to like it, but as always...
for good reason!
Yes!
The world is wrong. Look, there's 13 fresh reviews, so there's 13 people out there that feel the way I do.
That's good. That's why we do this.
Let's quickly move on to the next one.
So our next movie, then, is the movie Side Effects. And Yazdi, you're going to give us a background on this as well?
Yes, so Side Effects is the fifth directorial venture from Steven Soderbergh in the last 2 years, and he has one more film that will be shown on HBO later this year. The film stars Rooney Mara as a depressed woman trying to juggle marital life and a career. Her husband has just returned from prison after having served time for insider trading, and she also has a career to balance. She finds herself spiraling into possible depression and behavior that might even be suicidal. Jude Law plays a doctor who is trying to help her through this situation. He starts her on new medications and her behavior does not improve. Under the influence of her medication, her behavior starts veering into possibly criminal acts. What is imagined and what is real? That's the premise of Side Effects. The movie also stars Channing Tatum and Catherine Zeta-Jones. So this movie has suddenly appeared, and this Soderbergh has gone on record to say this might be his very last movie ever with a theatrical release. And so is this a good swan song for Soderbergh?
I'm a huge fan of Steven Soderbergh. I think I like his style perhaps a little more than you two. I mean, you know, even the movies that you didn't like, that what was the Haywire movie that we saw?
I
really enjoyed Haywire, and I really enjoyed this movie. He's got a really interesting and unique feel behind the camera. And this movie was just classic Soderbergh. There's a big opening shot of the city scene that kind of slowly zooms in. And then the movie ends with a scene that kind of zooms out again. So you get that nice... Yeah, it's an accomplished director here. Every single camera angle is well thought through, and so I enjoyed that. Now, the movie itself, the plot. I work in drug development. I understand that there is a process that is followed here that is completely different to the way that the pharmaceutical industry is portrayed in this movie. That said, it's not completely off the wall. I think they leveraged certain assumptions for dramatic effect, and overall I ended up feeling quite satisfied. This was a good thriller. If you take out the scientific inaccuracies and certainly the regulatory inaccuracies in terms of how drugs are used and marketed and how clinical trials are conducted, put all of that aside and just accept the fact that they used this to construct a thriller. The thriller was incredibly effective to me. I never knew where this movie was going. It constantly surprised me and I had a blast.
Yeah, this is not the film I expected, and by that I mean, you know, as Joe said, it started like a farmer-bashing diatribe. It was actually way more thriller than Soapbox, and actually not bad. I think Steven Soderbergh redeemed himself from Haywire for me.
Like you, Joe, I mean, I admire Steven Soderbergh for his versatility. And, you know, he makes movies, you know, he makes little movies which nobody's heard of with actors who have never acted before. He does, like, you know, the Ocean's 11 movies with Brad Pitt and Matt Damon, and he does a karate movie, and he does a movie about male strippers, and he does, you know, a movie called Contagion about a possible epidemic. And I like that nothing seems to faze him. You know, it all comes so easily, and there is something very unfussy about what he does, as accomplished as a craftsman as he is. I mean, it seems to come very easily for him. I mean, the only other person I know of, Clint Eastwood, seems to be making these movies so quickly without a lot of fuss. So I really admire him for that. And, you know, more than anything else, I really hope for that alone, that this is not his last movie. I just think he takes a break for 2 years like most sensible people do, and just, you know, only in future makes one movie every year, you know, at his own pace, so he's not so burnt out. This movie, I don't think, is top Soderbergh by any means. I think this movie probably falls somewhere in the middle of his range of quality of his movies. It by no means is a bad movie. I think it's a great little thriller. I expected a little bit more, but I, again, like you, Joe, the movie was always ahead of me.
Oh,
I completely thought I had it pinned. I thought, oh yeah, I got this one figured out. And at every step, it was ahead of me. And I can't think of a greater recommendation than that. That, you know, if you want to be surprised, go see this movie.
See, it's interesting, Yazdi. For me, I thought it was a clever thriller right up until about the halfway mark. And then for me, it got slightly predictable. But I still enjoyed it. I'll give you that.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lovely rhythm to the movie. I think, you know, it slowly reveals its plot over time. And yeah, the ending does become a little bit Scooby-Doo, where the characters that are involved in the twists explain their motives, and it's all so convoluted and twisted that it does test plausibility. But it's a thriller, and it's the kind of thing that I think, you know, we haven't seen this kind of movie for a long time. I mean, I can't remember, you know, one of the critics as we were coming out, you know, described it as a bit of a throwback to those 80s
B movies.
Yeah, the kind of the whodunits and it did. I'll give them that. But the plot was really cleverly crafted, and I think It made sense ultimately. I mean, there's a couple of character changes that I wasn't expecting. I didn't know who was coming from where, who the bad guys were, but it was really, really well done.
I mean, I enjoyed the story. I think I probably didn't enjoy it as much as I'm hearing you both say it. I think where it fell down for me was the sub-story, and I don't want to say anything about the sub-story because it's going to be a plot spoiler. And that's where I think it went from, you know, plausible to crazy town. I think it would have been a far more interesting movie if it had stuck to the theme of depression.
Mm-hmm. That's a fair point. Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Yeah, and I almost think that on the face of it, this is a script which is almost too smart for by half, or whatever the right phrase is. It's a script which is just trying to be very clever and in kind of a, almost a cheesy way. And I think the whole thing is elevated tremendously by, you know, a director who knows how to do this in an exceptional way, and by actors who, you know, who do a tremendous job. So I think this is actually a far inferior movie, which is lifted by the way it's been made and by the care that has been put into it.
Yeah, the film it most reminded me of, and I just had to pull it up, was the 1992 Final Analysis, which was the Richard Gere, I think Sharon, Kim Basinger and Uma Thurman movie, where they kind of, it's a good plot. I won't say much about it. But that's the film it most reminded me of. And as we were watching, I kept thinking, gosh, this is such a throwback to that movie for me.
Yeah, I don't know that one, but
I know where he. Anyway, it's
yeah. I don't want to say anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, you know, there were some genuine shocks, surprises for me, which I did not see coming at all. Yeah.
I mean, all the way through, every time it was like a bucket of water being thrown over my face. I was like, what?
Yeah,
and it wasn't incredulous stuff. It was like, oh my god, I can't believe I didn't see that.
Right. And I'm not giving anything away that I didn't already say in the intro, but there are a couple of scenes where she could possibly be suicidal. And the way it's done without any background music, you know, there's a palpable sense of fear, which is built like, oh my God, you know, is she right? What is she going to do now? You know, she herself doesn't seem to have control over her behavior. And I think that you know, that kind of elevated
Rooney
the movie
Mara
as well.
Rooney Mara was great in this movie.
Can we talk about performances? Yeah. Because Rooney Mara, Rashmi, you're not a fan of hers.
I'm not a fan of Rooney Mara, and certainly she didn't impress me in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and I can't believe she got nominated, but I'll get off that soapbox. She was actually really good in this movie, and I think that she played that, you know, wallflower, depressed woman so well. I was very convinced by her performance.
And I think she's very well suited to this role. I think she has that
injured bird.
Yeah, there's a darkness to her on-screen presence, her persona. I don't know how that is. I don't know how real that is compared to, you know, who she is as a person, but she has that very sullen, you know, there's a darkness to her. And it works so well here because you buy the depression. And I think the fact that, you know, this character here is wrestling with depression and has to be on these medications and, you know, you feel for her situation, especially with her situation with her husband and the things that she's been through. So she was brilliant.
I think she's in danger of getting typecast. And you know, I know why she was picked for this movie, because of, you know, her role in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, not since a very young Nicole Kidman have I seen an actor, you know, who has such coldness to them. There's a coldness about her. There's something very not warm about her. Like, I don't think she would ever work, you know, with Channing Tatum in a movie.
In a rom-com.
Yeah. She would never
work. She would never be in Legally Blonde, which we just caught the end of today.
And maybe she'll surprise us. And maybe she will be. And maybe we'll realize what a great actor she is. But I think there's something about her physicality and about her her psyche almost, which is cold, and it works great here for this particular movie. But
she needs to eat a sandwich.
Yeah, well, she's like that crazy chick that you know
right
needs to eat a sandwich.
That has mental issues. I mean, you know, we all know somebody like that who just is just dark and depressed constantly.
Why are you staring at Yazdi when you say that?
Yes, because I'm the crazy chick who's depressed.
Take off your mask, Yazdi.
My long, lustrous hair. Finally, I can reveal him. Anyway.
But no, she is that. What about Jude Law?
I love Jude Law.
I like him a lot. I've liked him in everything. And he's as good here as I think he's ever been.
And I don't. So again, you know, this is not a cast that I like. I only liked Jude Law in The Talented Mr. Ripley. And not since then have I liked him. But he was great in this.
I think it's perfect casting. I don't know if he was necessarily great, but he was perfectly suited to this role. I mean, there is some stuff that his character does, you know, very obsessed. You know, he has some pretty obsessive characteristics, and Law doesn't overplay it. It could have gone really cheesy, and he kind of keeps it toned, you know, and restrained, I think, which is to the benefit of the movie.
And so. Catherine Zeta-Jones, who I also don't like, was good in
the
movie.
Who do you like, Rashmi?
I know. This is an entire cast that I didn't, but I think she was good in this as well. She was surprisingly different to how I've seen her.
I liked her until about halfway through the movie, and then I didn't like her. And I think, and in part that's because I bought what she was doing early on. I didn't buy what she was doing later in the movie. So kind of a mixed bag for me with her this time. She's not an actress that I love, but, you know, she was very appropriate at the beginning of the movie. I can see why she got cast.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum. Yeah. Didn't have much to do here, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's one of the great reliables for Soderbergh. I think this is his third straight movie.
He was in Magic Mike.
It's kind of his muse.
In Haywire, Magic Mike, this one.
Yeah.
Was he in Contagion?
No, he wasn't. But Jude Law was.
And that's right.
And Catherine Zeta-Jones was in Traffic and in Intolerable Cruelty. No, that was the Coen Brothers movies. Never mind. Coen Brothers movie. Anyway. So yeah, he likes to work with the same actors over and over, clearly.
Okay. Should we wind up and give score? So, Joe, you go first.
You know, I had a lot of fun watching this movie. Again, I think you have to take with a pinch of salt everything it says about the drug industry. I am unashamedly biased because I understand the drug industry perhaps a little more than the average Joe out there. But nonetheless, put all of that aside, this was a really effective thriller. And I think as a kind of movie that keeps you on the edge of your seat, that is suspenseful and unpredictable, it was very, very effective. So I've got no hesitation here in recommending this to all and everyone who's a fan of movies. 8 out of 10.
Gosh, same score as Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I just had to get that digging.
Surprise.
Yeah. Yazdi.
I think this is a very average story, which is lifted by an exceptionally professional treatment of the material with very good actors and good directors. I think this is the kind of movie that anybody can enjoy and you know, come out, you know, watching a movie that'll be ahead of them. Again, I don't think it is Soderbergh's final work, but be that as it may, it's worth a recommendation. I give it somewhere between 6 and 7. I'll be generous and a 7 out of 10.
I have exactly the same score as Yazdi, between 6 and 7, but I'll give it a 7 and be generous too. This is not a bad movie by far, and it certainly won't have you reaching for your meds.
Okay. And I hope it's not his last movie, because I love what this guy does with movies. Like you say, Yazdi, they're not always like super clever, you know, they're not necessarily innovative, but they're reliably good.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen last year's Magic Mike, but everything that else that I've seen from this director has been stuff I've really enjoyed, whether it's the Ocean series with their fun and games, to something like, you know, Contagion, Haywire, The Informant. I mean, wow. Yeah.
He did a great movie called Bubble a long time ago with, like, these non-professional actors. You know, he did a movie called The Girlfriend Experience. I mean,
he
really goes all the way to full-out commercial to very small movies. I like what he's...
Yeah.
He's kind of
broken the model. And he seems so accomplished for someone so young.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not an older director.
Yeah. Prolific. All right. So, mail at movieroz.com for your comments. Let us know what you think of both the podcast and also these movies. Love to get some debates going. Facebook.com/movieroz as well. Until our next episode, too many movies, too little time. So good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.